Well, welcome if you're listening in. My name is Matt Reed, the communications director here at the district office, and I'm here with Steve Rockola, did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Barber. And I had them tell you guys a little bit about yourselves in just a minute. Again, we're going to be talking about a little bit of video in the church and even outside the church, just thinking about creative ways that we can implement this tool for communicating Christ, communicating the gospel in different ways and utilizing it in the church. And my background real quick, communications director, again, here at the district office, 4 days a week, so kind of full-time, but not quite. Back a long time ago when I, with Pastor St. John, what I wanted to do was be able to still freelance on the side.
Sure.
Because part of my heart, I love to do video. And but I knew that coming to the district office, I couldn't do video 100% of the time. Because obviously a lot of it's communications, it's website, you know, you're talking graphic design, all related to production at our events and stuff. And so video is such a small part, mm-hmm. and it was a great part, but I knew that like I just needed to do that more. And so when we first set it up, I just said, hey, what if I do 4 days and then on weekends, like, just go to town with video. So, yeah. My wife and I started a little side business a few years ago. And so we just started doing freelance production and then been having a lot of fun with that.
What's that called?
30 Story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that. So there's three of us now on the team and all of us kind of part-time, yeah. doing it on the weekends. And that's kind of our side hustle. But that's where, you know, kind of where we're at. Got feet in both worlds, but just living and loving life. How about, let's go to you, Steve. You're the newest member of the MDC team. Tell us a little bit about.
So, I started here. It's today 60 days, actually.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, 60. I don't like hiding behind a giant Mac.
Yeah.
But my background is, and I started video in 2014, mm-hmm. just kind of by accident. Took a photography class in college to fill an art credit. And my wife's neighbor was getting married, and she needed somebody to film her wedding. So made $100. A week later, I booked 5 other ones. I'm like, I should do this legitimate. And that's been growing ever since. Kind of, I'm actually leaning more out of video and more into just content development and websites and digital marketing kind of stuff in general. And then I just started here 60 days ago with Matt, doing rebuilding their website, doing stuff like this, and just helping out everywhere.
It's
doing
been good.
Things I very much enjoy doing.
Good.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I am a part of the Corner Church team. We have 3 coffee shops. And then on Sunday we do a church community, like a small community-focused church with inside of each of those shops. Kind of our goal is to do a community-focused church within walking distance of everyone in the city. And so we're actively trying to grow that. And part of that is just like making connections, knowing people. And for me, video has been an amazing tool to be able to implement into that. I did video a long time ago, like in my youth group days when I interned at a church, a big church that, you know, had lots of means and we could do all kinds of crazy stuff. But I've actually was always interested in photography, but I never owned a camera. And so we kind of, you know, we got married and I didn't have the ability to jump into a hobby like that. And a few years ago, I don't know, probably 4 years ago now, I decided, you know, I need a hobby for myself. I need something that like is just mine and I can grow it and make it become. I felt like everything I was doing was either for the business or the church or for other people, but I didn't have anything that was mine. And so I was like, I'm gonna invest into me. And that investment was my first camera.
Cool.
And so I got that. And once I started taking photos, I was like, oh, I can do video too. So I started making some really dumb videos. And but just like, that's how you learn, right? You
totally.
Just gotta keep making things. And so over time, it's just like, it's really opened doors to be able to use this skill that I've, you know, self-taught, self-learned, and be able to bless people, be able to make some money on the side, be able to bless our church community with. And so, I don't know, it's one of those cool things that like, I felt like I should do it for myself, and now it's become something that I'm able to give to others.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we talked about, I think one of the reasons I'm excited to have you here today is because look at what you do personally on your Instagram, but also just what your church does. You guys think outside the box.
Yeah. I think we don't live in the box because, you know, we're in the city. We have coffee shops. We run businesses. It's just very different than the church that I grew up in or the experience of a lot of people that are working in churches right now. And so it's required us to think outside the box. So, like, I won't claim that we're some creatives that just, like, had this great idea and do things different, but, like, it's been out of necessity. And I think actually those things help us be most creative a lot of times is, like, what needs can I actually meet in my community, and what does that look like? And it's going to be different everywhere.
And I think that's a little bit what we want to talk about today. If you're watching live or listening to the recording afterwards on the podcast, just the idea that, like, well, first of all, how video is so important, you know, and we're seeing it all the time in our being used online. You know, Steve and I were on Facebook. We've been talking about MNOG Facebook, and we've been posting different things. And
someone activated Siri.
That's funny. Siri, what should we talk about?
Jeez, sorry about that.
No, it's all good. So, we've been posting different things on our MNOG Facebook and just looking at different engagement things. And it's funny, we just posted a video of Kristen Ostrom, who works here.
Yeah, I saw it. It was amazing.
Right? And we post the video, and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
Engagement's just through the roof, and everyone's sharing it and liking it. And, you know, posts like a...
I'm sure she loved it.
She loved it. And she's fantastic. I'm guessing, like, she's open to, you know, comedic gigs or if you're looking for someone, she'll do bring
her
a recording.
Accent was on point.
Yeah. It was amazing. But just seeing, like, just again, how we hadn't posted a video in a while, you know, it was just like some random photos or whatever, and but the video, boom, you know, through the roof engagement. And so looking at how churches utilize video, there's something about video that really connects with people in live settings but online. And so we want to talk about that, why video is important, but also, like, how can you use it within the local church?
Sure.
And or even personally, you know, someone might be watching and say, "Hey, you know, we do stuff at our church, but I just really want to use this to connect with other people."
Yeah. I mean, video is inherently intimate. Not that, like, it's makes it necessarily special, but, like, watching that video that you guys posted invited me into a space that I wasn't a part of.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to probably think about how do we utilize video in our local church is how are we inviting people into the greater community through what we're creating? You know, video, I think, is the default is used to promote things, right? It gets people's attention. Like, that video got people's attention just because it's video.
Yeah.
But that in and of itself, I think, only can carry so far.
Yep.
And I think it can be overdone, and, like, we talked about video announcements before we started recording, and I think there's a place for it. When we do a video for an announcement, we do it probably 2 or 3 times a year, and it's something that we're saying we really want people to notice this.
Yeah.
Because when I'm up in front and giving announcements every week, it just becomes white noise.
Yeah.
And I worry if we use video announcements every week all the time, does it just become that white noise? Like, does that just transfer to the video?
Yeah.
And so, so, yeah, I think it's this invitation into being somewhere special. Like, the last video we recorded at church was a lady in our church who got baptized. And so it was her sharing her story and then, like, a quick, like, B-roll segment of her being baptized. And, you know, I just had one camera. I didn't have good mics and anything. Like, it wasn't done super well, but it invited people into that moment in that experience. And I think that always trumps production.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. The story. You got to get the story to come through.
For sure.
And I like what you're mentioning. There's got to be it's almost like there's a level of authenticity that really connects with the viewer or people in your church, whoever's watching it, that you guys do a really good job of, I think, like you personally even.
Oh, man.
I follow you on Instagram.
Sure.
And it's interesting, you know, like, I remember a few weeks ago you posted just this really raw video of your experience at the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And it like, it just, you know, drew me in. Again, that what you just said, you know, just it brought me into an environment and an experience that I myself wasn't a part of, but you just sharing that story, it pulled me in. You know, there's something to that being authentic too that I think really connects with viewers.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that because, like, you know, sometimes making videos like that is you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah,
like it's uncomfortable to share like the emotions that happen inside of you, but I do think it is that it helps build empathy and understanding in people, and it really like. I made that video for me because I didn't know how to process that moment. I didn't know how to process the story, like that. Essentially, this guy said he was going to kill me. And so I walked in the coffee shop and locked the doors. And then seconds later, he had a hammer. And he didn't come at me. It wasn't like, I'm going to kill you, I'm coming at you. But like, he had a hammer and was yelling at somebody else. And it was just like this mixture of these, like, I don't know, high anxiety moment. And I didn't know how to process it. And so like, I just made this video talking about it. And it just let me just express my experience.
Yeah.
And so like when people respond, like you're not the only one, multiple people have said, man, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. It really meant a lot. And being heard in those moments, in those hard situations, I think it does something in me. And I can't put like words onto it.
Right.
But I do think it is that sharing authentically what's going on. I wasn't trying to sell anything. I wasn't promoting anything. I wasn't inviting anyone to come to church.
Right.
It was simply just sharing like what's going on inside of me. And I don't know. It's so easy in today's world to just put on a facade and a mask and like play the part.
Yeah.
And one of my like personal callings as a pastor is to help people see behind that. I feel like as soon as you like are a pastor, whatever that means, you have like all of these expectations that other people put on you, and then it's so easy to put up these like barriers of like, I never sin, I never cuss, I only listen to worship music all the time in my car, like all of these things. And man, I love having the opportunity to break down some of those barriers.
Totally.
And so having a platform where you can share honestly where you're at really invites people to be like, oh, he's not a special person because he's a pastor, he's a person. And that allows people to like connect and understand what's going on. I don't know, I find value in that. It's really hard to explain.
But I get it, and I mean, I feel like again that's kind of where this the topic of the day is kind of heading. We're not, again, if you're listening or watching, we're not, the idea here is not to just give you, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
It's just trying to get you thinking outside the box. And as you're sharing, like, I'm immediately thinking, okay, and within a church context or even personally, like, how do we share those raw moments or those authentic moments? Because I think the trend has been, you know, when you talk about video in the church, you automatically go to announcements, and then you think baptism testimonies, you know? And because they're no-brainers a lot of times. It just, it's a good way to utilize video, but then even thinking through like how do you share the raw humanity too, you know, and thinking of the video that you created, you know, are there ways, and Steve, you can pipe in too, are there ways to creatively use something like that within the local church? I think a lot of times it's easy to share the win, and we do want to celebrate wins, no doubt.
Yeah.
But do we share the struggle enough, you know, and thinking through like, you know, all the times there's prayer requests and different things that people are struggling with, you know, and praying for healing and different things like that, you know, like, are there ways that we could utilize video in those regards?
I definitely, I think real video, real emotion, like you were talking about, people connect with that. I mean, I've seen marketing videos by clients that are just way overdone, super cheesy, and like this also does the opposite effect. And even recently, I was at an advisory board meeting for our local college and their multimedia department, and they're asking like, how can we use what's the newest social media thing? That's TikTok. And somebody said, don't try to be funny, because if you ruin it, and teenagers and young adults are really good at sniffing, you know, nonsense out. Instead, they're like, go behind the scenes of your college. Show like, hey, here's a giant like a tooling machine that you can learn to weld or whatever on. And I'm like, wow, that's really good. I think you mentioned earlier that video we posted yesterday of Kristen just doing it. It invited you like behind the scenes almost, like in mm-hmm. an area of MDC you probably never would have been in.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's super important. When I was on staff at Riverside Church, that's one of the things I wanted to do, but was never really able to do, is like, let's invite people behind the scenes. Because in the past, in our church anyways, and again, this is all about local church, we had there was a disconnect between congregation and staff. So my idea was like, let's create some videos that kind of help bridge that. And so even just little stupid things like, hey, here's a youth pastor just doing youth pastor stuff.
Sure.
Right.
You know, and I think one of the best videos we ever did, we recently went away from video announcements because they just took too much time.
Sure.
There's not as good engagement. And I mean, you can watch people like, oh, they get really bored quickly when they're on. So, but we're now going if like 4 or 5 times a year. If it's something we really want people to attend to,
yeah.
And one of our strategies through this past year was to create more engagement within our community. So last Easter, we were going to do a giant Easter egg hunt for the community, and we made this stupid little video. On the spot, it was just like, hey, let's go up to this farm, shoot at a chicken coop. And so this video, it was pretty funny, and at the end of it, we just invited the community. I posted it in a local Hutchinson group, threw like $5 behind it, and that event we were expecting about 500 to 600 people, and over 2,000 showed up.
Jeez.
And we asked him like, "Hey, what brought you in?" We're like, "Yeah, we kept seeing this cute little video with us online," and we're like, "Hey, that looks really fun. We should probably come and join." And we got a good couple of families just from that.
Yeah.
They're like, "Wow, we really like your kids program. We like what you guys are doing," and so they stayed.
Yeah, it's super interesting to see just like what my generation and younger, like what are they watching? What's their entertainment form? Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, yes, TV is still like, people still watch a lot of TV, but like the amount of like YouTube and YouTube right. content that is consumed is astronomical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I regularly talk to my friends about which YouTube videos they saw, but we rarely ever talk about like what TV shows we watch. Like
right.
there's a big difference, and it's like a lot of the YouTube is just like people sharing their life, and your life might be boring to you. Like you do it all the time. Like you're the director of communications here. You have your day-to-day thing. But if you started sharing that with people who don't have your life, they think it's so interesting.
Mm.
Like I have a YouTube channel. One of my most viewed videos ever is simply titled, it's something like "What Living in Minnesota is Really Like." And it's me shoveling outside of the coffee shop. That's literally the entire video. It's ice, snow, shoveling. And that video to this day gets like more views on a daily basis than almost any video I've ever made. And it's so dumb. And people are commenting all the time. People saying, totally. "I'm moving to Minnesota. Is it really that bad?" Like it's created these conversations and it's weird. And I'm like, that video is 3 years old now. I wouldn't have done it that way.
Right.
My camera back then was a piece of junk. It was my first camera ever. But like to this day, it's like interesting because people don't live my life. And for some reason, that was interesting to them. And so it's like trying to lower the bar of what I'm willing to share with the world. And
right.
it's this really hard, like, it's easy to think, I don't have anything to share. But I literally put my phone or my camera on a tripod and shoveled the sidewalk. And people engaged. And so I think there's lots of churches that are doing things that feel normal to them. But it's not normal to people that aren't there.
Right.
And it's this behind-the-scenes moment. It's this invitation in. And so what can we lower the bar of what we're willing to share? Can
right.
we be more vulnerable? Can we be more authentic? Can we just, like, have more fun and kind of share those stories with people? And video is an amazing tool to do that. And you don't even – it's not – the expectation these days is not TV movie-quality cinematic video.
Right.
It's YouTube. It's vloggers hand-holding shaky video.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty low bar that needs to be crossed these days.
And that's what I love, too, like, the idea of when you start talking about it's real low production value.
Yeah.
And so anyone can do it.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing is, like, we're avoiding talking about gear.
Sure.
Intentionally.
You brought it up.
I had to bring it up because I know that people are thinking, what gear are they using?
Yeah, yeah.
But you got a phone. Everyone has a phone. You know what I mean? It's that some of that behind the scenes stuff is huge.
Do you see that? I was just on a church communications Facebook page and somebody asked a question I feel really tacky using my phone to shoot stuff. And then somebody posted the new iPhone commercial shot, this huge cinematic snowball fight shot on an iPhone.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have my phone is a lot of times my second camera in a lot of settings. There are limitations, of course. I wouldn't shoot a really cinematic, beautiful B-roll sequence on my phone.
Right.
But for a talking head video, which is the one that you said you saw, that could have been shot on my phone. It wouldn't have made a difference.
Totally.
It's about the story that's being shared. It's about the invitation into the space. I mean, gear's fun. Don't get me wrong.
Totally.
But I put together a list for you guys of the current gear I'm shooting with, but it's all good stuff. Create something. You have the means to create something with where you're at. If you have a camera, use a camera. If you have a phone, use a phone. But don't let the gear stop you from creating. I see photographers and videographers all the time. We can go shoot once I get a new camera. I'm like, you have something. Let's make something now. We're going to run out of time eventually. We might as well use what we have. You know, if you are good with what you have, then the means to have something better will come along,
Well, the best camera is the one you have.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
But
I follow this guy on YouTube. I don't remember his name. But he refuses. He shoots on a Canon T3i.
Yeah.
Super old camera. Barely does HD in 30 frames a second.
Yeah.
But he's his logic is, you know, if you look at a film budget and what their budget for gear is, it's minuscule. So he's making this amazing video content on a basic camera.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
I feel like we're seeing more and more. There's definitely a shift in the church world. And I think, again, we come back to announcement videos because, you know, that was what it was for a few years ago. How do you do announcements on video? Because it saves time. It's condemned, you know. And I think, in a way it does, you know, but I think with announcement videos, like you said, you don't want it to be white noise. It's got to be, you almost have to go all or nothing. You right?
Yeah. I mean, when everything's on a screen, then nothing might as well be on the screen.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it feels.
Exactly. So, I mean, to get churches to think outside the box, whether it's, again, just the whole behind the scenes, there's so much potential there. Just glimpse into the pastoral team or just even the raw emotion of what you're struggling with. I think of even Eric Samuel Tim a few months ago. If you follow him online, he's got some really cool just moments where he's just sharing into a phone or a webcam or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it just really connects with the viewer, you know? And I think to hear from a pastor, you know, too, just I think it could be, there's so much great potential in there for a church.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, so we got kind of the behind the scenes ideas, another way to think outside the box, you know, and mention wins are just I think it's easy to celebrate wins, baptism, testimony, stories, but Bridging the Gap does really well, and that's our women's ministries department here. My wife actually helps with some of the videos. When they share stories, they go back to that raw, authentic, and so the aspect of it. And so I was thinking a couple of videos that they had done this past year, and one was just kind of related to grief, you know. And there's no resolution to grief, right? In a sense, you know, you're not going to have it's not always cheery, and you know, but you hear the story. And it's just something that's so, it connects.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I'd like to see in the church world that we're, where we share more of those open-ended kind of stories. You know what I mean? Whether it's grief or struggles with anxiety or different, you know, the real things that people are struggling with, to hear, not necessarily that it's resolved, but that there's hope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we don't have to fix everybody.
Correct. Oh. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I agree. I think emotion is universal. And I know, like, manly men don't like to share that they have emotion, but emotion is fairly universal, and people have experienced it. And so being able to share not just the great things, but what's going on. I mean, I know as, like, a pastor on Sunday, I love being able to share where I'm at and what's going on. And we as a church, you know, I don't want to get in trouble for saying it, but, like, my favorite thing as a church is when two people can sit at a table, because we do dialogue in our messages. And my favorite thing is when people sit across the table and say, you believe this about Jesus or the world or whatever, politics, whatever the answer is, and I believe this, and we disagree on this. Like, I'm not coming to your side, you're not coming to mine. But I still view you as a person, as a human, and you have inherent value, and I care about you, and I love you, and I'm thankful that we're in community together. And crossing that divide, that division that is inherently, like, almost celebrated in culture today.
Right.
And it's so detrimental. And even in church culture, often it's like, you know, get on the bus or get out of the way mentality. And man, I don't know if that's helpful. And so maybe using video is the invitation to say that, is the invitation to say, you know, we don't have to have it all figured out. It doesn't have to be fixed.
Exactly.
I don't have to be fixed before I'm invited into this community. I don't have to have a personal relationship with Jesus before I belong here. I don't have to, whatever it is. It's inviting people into a space that they aren't currently in.
Yeah.
And so
we on our side gig, we run into this all the time, because a lot of times when we're creating video for a client, we want to leave it open ended.
Yeah.
We want to ask the question and not resolve it.
Sure.
We don't want to answer it. And it's so hard.
Yeah.
When you especially in the church world.
I love it.
It's so hard when you pitch something like that and they're like, but what, you know, what does that character, does that character resolve it? Does that character win in the end? And, like, no, we just want to, like, get people thinking and, like, connect with the audience. But
it
is so hard for people to get to that point. But I'd love to see that trend of, like, obviously, we do want to have the wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We do want to answer questions, but I think there are so many questions in life that, like, it's okay to just ask.
Yeah, I think so many more people are in this world of, like, I'm not sure.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure what I think about this.
Yep.
And I know, like it's like a relationship with my wife. Like, there are moments where, like, she's my best friend and moments where she's, like, the enemy, right?
Yeah.
And if we think relationship with God and Jesus is different than relationship with people, then we're fooling ourselves. Like, if we think it's going to just be, I fully believe all the time, I love God, that hasn't been my experience. I have moments of, like, why'd you take me here? What are we doing here? Like, why would you put me in this situation? And that's okay. Like, that's totally, that's actually probably a good thing. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Wrestle with that.
So shifting gears for a second,
yeah.
I'm thinking about something that you guys do at the church, and you don't, doesn't sound like you do it on video, but you do a podcast, which is following up the sermon.
Yeah.
And I bring it up because I have seen a number of churches that do some sort of, you know, follow-up message from the pastor. It's one, 2 minutes or something, but they're utilizing the social media to be able to follow up whatever he spoke on. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do in the podcast.
Yeah. So our podcast, so we have our greater podcast is called Corner Conversations. And then within that podcast, we have a couple different like sub podcasts. Right now we have two. One is called Behind the Message, and it's actually a pre-message conversation.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so the goal would be that people that are part of community can listen to this podcast and say, and it's like in preparation for Sunday. It
like
gets
that.
Them to this place of like, okay, I heard Greg and Scott and Zach talk about this this thing, and they shared their own like personal wrestling with it. before, because again, we do dialogue, and so dialogue takes a lot of the time on Sunday. So on Sunday, I don't have a lot of opportunity to share my personal thoughts or experience with what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But in the podcast, I can put that in. And so the podcast is usually about 45 minutes long.
Gotcha.
And so that's the behind the message. And then we do another one. These are like 10-minute short podcasts, and it's called Ask a Pastor Anything. And occasionally we open up to our community just to like ask questions.
I like that.
And then the three of us wrestle with them together. And again, it's not about us giving answers, but it's us being honest about, you know, wrestling with things. And so those are coming out every Tuesday until mid-February. We pre-recorded a bunch. And so those are coming out. I'm really excited about them. They're like, interesting. But again, it's this because Scott, Zach, and I, we write our messages together. We have – actually, there's more people on our sermon prep than just the three of us, but the core of it is the three of us. And we were having these conversations every week as we prepped together. And we were asking each other hard questions like, I hate this part of Scripture. I don't know why it's here. What does this even mean? Like, to be able to be in a group of people where I can be honest about my experience with what Scripture says or what's happening in culture – and being able to have those people speak into that is super helpful.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, we're having this amazing moment every week where we have this chance to help define truth for each other. How do we invite people into that? And that was the podcast is the outlet of that.
That's so cool.
And so it's the same for video, right? It's like we're using media to help invite people into a space they're not currently in. And we're inviting people to be a part of those early conversations about the message where, like, we just did a message on, we were doing a straight through the Bible message. I think, it was Ruth, I think. And I was just getting tired of it. Right? Like, it was fine, but Zach and Scott were really into it, and so every week I got to be re-energized in that conversation. Because if I would have just quit a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all care about different things. We could help each other. So doing that together is really important for us. And so being able to invite more people into that process.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, we have people from our church who join the podcast live sometimes, and then sometimes it's just listening.
Yeah.
It's conversations after. But yeah.
I really like that because I feel like the more touch points we can have with people online, utilizing whether it's just audio or video, the better. You know what I mean? Thinking through like, I mean, we're always struggling with what content do you put online, and it's like, you probably spend most of your time sermon prepping. You know what I mean? Pastors spend a lot of, I shouldn't say most, but they spend a lot of time sermon prepping, or whether it's a youth pastor or a senior pastor. And it's like, if you have all this great content and thoughts, why not pour some of that out?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like my hesitation a lot of times is, for me, church is the connection moments. It's not necessarily listening to the pastor preach.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen like the online church trend thing starting to pick up, bless you. and like the streaming messages online, and those things aren't inherently bad, but it does do something in me when I have like the moment where I hear someone say, oh, I didn't have to go to church on Sunday, I just watched it online.
Right.
That I don't know. I struggle. I don't know the answer, but right. I don't know if that's the... So, like, if you're using video so that people don't have to come on Sunday, or I don't know, so you don't have to be there and you could just play a video back, those things give me pause. I'm not saying they're inherently wrong, but I know those things, like, it just feels weird.
But that's the debate.
Yeah.
I know that's one reason why... we didn't want to start live streaming our services because, you know, there's going to be a handful of people like, oh, sweet, I don't have to get out of bed.
Yeah, and if someone's in the hospital,
right,
it's great for them to have that opportunity. So, like, I think there are opportunities in it. And, you know, we have to have this moment of, like, Jesus trusted us to do his work. We have to at some point have faith in people that God is also speaking to them.
Right.
And that they're going to do the right thing. It's just, I just, that's one area of video in ministry that I really struggle to wrap my head around. In fact, on my way over, I told Zach, I was like, if this comes up, I don't know if it's going to be good.
I don't know what I'll say.
I just feel weird about it, okay?
No, and it's all good.
Yeah.
I get it.
But, yeah.
Totally. It's all good. How are we doing time-wise?
Doing pretty good. There's one question that I know we kind of brushed over a little bit.
Yeah.
But where do you think the future then of video in the church looks like? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know, but I think it looks a lot more like vlogs on YouTube than it does cinematic movies. And I think there's place for both, but, you know, like the YouTubers that are growing really fast and have a huge reach are the ones that are doing, like, daily vlogs.
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind of, like, making a video every day. Like, how do you even think of what to talk about? But then you watch those videos, and they're not talking about anything.
Right.
Like, they're just, like, sharing what's happening. And for some reason, thousands of people are interested in that. And so, I don't know, like, I think, like, not, like, the goal is never celebrity pastor, right? But the goal is to raise awareness, to invite people in, to build deeper community and connection. And, you know, like, what if a church is doing daily vlogs of what it's like working in the office? And I think it's way more, the future is closer to that than it is a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like a church being a lot more transparent than it has in the past.
Yeah, transparency is a great word. Yeah. Just like, this is what's going on. And these are real people.
Yeah.
And because it's easy to view pastors and churches as not real people.
Right.
Like people, especially people that are not a part of a church community. Maybe they're not believers. They, you know, they automatically say, oh, I already know everything about those people. I know everything about the church because they're Christians. I know what they hate. I know what they like. I know what they stand for. I know what they're against. Because the church has done a terrible job at PR.
Right.
But, like, what if you can create something that invites people to see you as a person, as a human that has value and wants, like, what can we partner in this neighborhood together with? And so I think as far as, like, inviting people, video has an opportunity to invite people who would never be willing to have a conversation with you into the story. And I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I mean, I shared a little bit, like, a lot of the video stuff I do is not actually for church stuff. Yeah. It's for friends. It's for, you know, a side gig. It's but, like, for me, being able to – it lets me be in spaces that I would have never been invited to as a pastor, but I'm invited to as a videographer.
Yep.
And, man, those relationships are invaluable, and it's opportunity for redefinition in people's lives. They go from the moment of, like, oh, I hate the church, so I hate you because you're a pastor, to I'm so thankful that you gave a day of your time to help in this project.
Yeah.
And, oh, you're a pastor. I thought I hated pastors, but I like you. So what do I do with
I'm
that?
I'm conflicted.
Yeah, that conflicted
I'm supposed
moment.
To hate you.
It's a beautiful moment. It's my favorite. And so a lot of this, I mean, that's why we do coffee shops at Corner.
Yeah.
That's why I do a lot of the photo and video work that I do is to just invite people into that conflict, the internal conflict of, all right, now it's on you. It's between you and God. Like, I'm not going to change your mind, but I love you and care about you. I want to help you.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's really cool. I was thinking, so you had asked trends, and I think Greg just hit it on the nail on the head. I think that's definitely the way to go, that whole just authenticity, transparency, as you put it.
Yeah.
Another trend I could see is just, again, in a way, like, representing, like, creating videos that represent the church's values.
Hmm.
And I've heard this a lot from Jarvis Glanzer, you know, too many times the churches, and we've heard this before from other pastors, but too many times the world knows us for what we're against rather than what we're for.
Sure.
And so we talked about a little about a couple weeks ago about trends. I think one of the things that we're going to start to see is videos that represent the church's values and what they're for, more than what, you know, beyond even testimonies, beyond announcements, but just like vision casting almost, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And see, the reason I think that's another great way to go is just because you're not tied to a sermon series.
Sure.
You're not tied to an event. They're timeless. And, you know, when you start talking about the values of the church and you start creating videos along those lines, I think those are videos that have a longer lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see that changing the way that churches go. So then there's less pressure, too.
Sure.
I feel like when you are trying to create content around the sermon or around what's happening, or there's just that pressure to get things done constantly, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there could be a shift. I'd love to see a shift, too, where we create videos that are a little more timeless and they don't have that pressure of having to have it done in a given week.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's cool.
I think just in my experience of I was a youth pastor for a while. And my whole thing is transparency. I'm huge on it because to me that's the best way to build trust. And especially the kids that came to my youth group, they came from a world of untrust. I mean, their parents, they didn't even trust their parents. So I'm like, if I could be real to them and not like this, oh, I'm a perfect human being, perfect pastor. I'm like, no, dude, I struggle with anxiety. Yeah, I've been hospitalized for it. But, and so whenever then even I'm given a message in Big C Church, people are always like, oh, thank you for being transparent. Thank you for being honest. I'm like, oh, it's one of my life values. Yeah. I want to be who I am. I said once at my old church, I'm like, you'll never see me in a suit and tie at church because you'll never see me in a suit and tie on the street.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to dress up for church.
For sure.
I'm not a different person at church as I am on the street. And I just think that what we are, who we are, that transparency is going to be a lot more valuable in the future than, hey, this is a cool cinematic shot. This is a cool. But even testimonies will still always be powerful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like we've lumped in like testimonies in with videos a lot in this conversation, and I will say like the testimony videos, especially when we leave it at that place of like I always, when I shoot a testimony video, it's where were you at, where are you, and where's God leading you next, and that leading you next a lot of times is like the cliffhanger moment that you talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Like it's not resolved, and that's the point. Like story is, our story is continuing on, and that's great. And so I will say testimony videos, I think, always have a place because it's story. It's inviting people into story. Yeah, they're good. We try to do a season every year. In fact, we have failed at it this year. But in the fall, we typically try to – we've done it a bunch of different ways of collecting stories. Sometimes it's just people sharing on Sunday. Sometimes it's video. Sometimes it's podcasts. But we always try to have a season of collecting stories and allowing people to share what God's done and doing in them.
This has been good.
Yeah.
I really like, so I like, I'm hoping that as you're listening to it, says later or watching it now, that you've got some different, like right away, like video content, I've got a million different ideas going off in my head.
You know, sure.
Like, this has been really valuable just to think outside the box. If we were to kind of land the plane here and just talk practice without touching on gear. I'll kick it off because we had talked about this, and then I'll have you guys jump pipe in. Where do you get started? That's the question. You know, like I get asked that a lot. You know, and I think we touched on that a little bit. You just get started with what you have. You know, and start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I guess I'd answer the question, and I'll let you guys pipe in. Would be, what's the the best return on your time? So as when you start looking at a church and people, you know, your pastor is asking you to do video announcements or testimonies, you know, there's a reality of how long it takes to put things together. Even if you're shooting something on your phone, you know, it does take time. And so I always look at it and like, if I have 8 hours to give video in a given week, what's going to be the best use of that time and the most effective use of that time? If it is announcements, do it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If you've got this highly structured church and like you have to get that announcement piece and they just need to know, like, that's what you need to do. You know, for our church, when we were at, when I was on staff at a church a number of years ago, we did video announcements, but it became a thing. Like, my wife and I, like, we put a ridiculous amount of effort into it. Like where every time, it wasn't never white noise. You know, there was always like one of the elements was just off the cuff, scripted, stupid things that we did. Like mm-hmm. running outside, 20 below degree weather, talking about, you know, skiing downhill or something like that. But there yeah. was always this element that was like captured people, you know. So the announcements became a thing in our church. It actually, it almost killed us because we always had to like one up ourselves, yeah. right? So it got really tough, but it was valuable. It was something that we all rallied, you know, made everyone laugh together.
Sure.
And we always brought that every single week. And so for us, it was a win, you know what I mean? But when you look at it for any given church and maybe we don't have time to like really fully like put together something every week, maybe the better use of your time is a behind the scenes, just grab an iPhone,
yeah.
you know? What are you guys' thoughts as far as where do you start? What are some practical takeaways?
Yeah, I think like for me, and it's not just limited to video, but like people always have excuses of why they're not doing something. Yeah. Like, I want to start this nonprofit someday, or I want to find a new job, or I want to go back to school, or I want to make a video. And like the excuses are forever long for everybody. And at some point, you just gotta decide, I'm just gonna do it.
Right.
And so I know for me, for video, like my process has, you know, you go back and you watch videos you made 3 or 4 years ago, and you're like, oh man, I hope no one ever sees that. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because without those, I would not be doing what I do today.
For sure.
And without what I'm doing today, I won't be doing what I'm doing in 10 years. And that's true with all areas of our life. And so the longer we wait, the more time we're just wasting. And so I actually don't think every single person should shoot video. Maybe not every even church needs to do video.
Sure.
But if something in you is like, I want to make something, I want to create something, I want to invite people into these moments that we're having, then just figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah.
Just put priority onto it. There's like our lives call for focus everywhere, and life is all about prioritizing things.
Yeah.
And so like you gotta choose.
Right.
And it's okay if you don't choose the same as everybody else, yeah. but choose something.
Yeah.
Just don't be stalled by, I can be stalled by perfection. Like I love to get things perfect, and until I figured out how I'm going to perfectly do it, it's hard for me to start.
Sure.
And that's been the battle of my life, is just like, how do I start? I just gotta go, because I'll learn as I go. If I don't go, I won't learn.
It's good.
Yeah.
Steve,
that's like that literally it's kind of like fell in my lap. Somebody asked me like, can you do this? I'm like, sure, I mean, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
But even that, I like how you said a lot of people, gosh, how do you actually wrote it down? Because
oh, geez.
The longer we wait, the more time we are wasting. I mean, I've literally thought that just the other day. I'm like, gosh, if I would have started exercising 2 months ago, I would already be like well on my way towards my
yeah.
goal. But instead, I didn't. And so for me, when I just love that, just do something.
Yeah.
So even when I started coming to church every day, I'm like, what's your calling? I don't know. Well, like, okay, well, I'll do something. I was at the church every day until I realized, yep, no, I'm not going to be a kids pastor.
Yeah.
You know, then I was a youth pastor for a while. I'm like, nope, not going to be that.
Sure.
And I was just doing something until I figured out what I really enjoyed doing. And I still like doing video, but as far as like come up with content idea, that's still difficult.
Yeah.
What I learned in college was free writing.
Oh, interesting.
So you just take your pen to the paper and you just start, you know, writing something. Yeah. And even a friend of mine does this for sermon prep. He's like, this is how he figures it out. And in that stuff, there's tons of content idea.
Mm-hmm.
In so for me, that's one of the areas I like. The other thing is I listened to a filmmaker once. He said, make the stuff you want to see.
Oh, yeah.
You want to watch.
That's good.
So yeah. For video content, even here, it's like, you know, if I wasn't a part of MDC, what are the things I want to know about MDC?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I don't know. Who's Kristen?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I know Kristen a little bit more because of a you know, a stupid joke she told. So make the content that you want to see on stuff. And then, but at the same time, you can't please everybody. You know, there's some things I like to see versus what other people would rather see. So really it comes down to, like what Matt said, how much time do you have? What are your capabilities? Can you do something more cinematic, or do you only have a cell phone and a lavalier mic that you can plug into it? A lot of that comes down to that. What can you do? And, you know, who else is available?
Yeah, I love that you went back to that create the thing that you want to see, that you're interested in, because, like, going all the way back to my beginning of photo and video, I bought my camera for me. Like, I bought it because I wanted something that was mine. And when I create videos, a lot of times it's because this, I just get, it's just joy. I just get joy out of the creating process. And if I lose that, then it becomes just another job, another work. But if I can maintain that, like, no, I'm, the jobs that I do, it's because I choose, I want to do them. I don't do video as my full-time gig, and so I'm not ever going to be forced to do it to make a paycheck. And so, like, my YouTube channel and my Instagram, that's just stuff that I just enjoy making, and it's for me. And I'm really thankful that a lot of times those things can connect with other people. But I don't necessarily make them for other people. I make them for me. Like, the story video of, that you mentioned earlier, like, I made that for me. And that's important. Like, you got to find joy in what you create and what you make. Otherwise, you're just gonna always be trying to please somebody else.
I'll say thanks, Greg, for joining us today.
Yeah, this was amazing.
It's been super valuable for me, and if for no one else, I get to take a bunch of takeaways.
I enjoyed it.
It's been really, in a sense, theoretical. I know if you're listening or watching, it's just hopefully just inspiring. So a little less on the practical side. That being said, you know, I think, I'm guessing all of us are pretty open to any questions. You know, if you guys want to get in touch with us after this, you hear this and you have some questions. I know I sat down with someone a couple weeks ago, and we just talked ministry and video. And then they asked the question, you know, what would you recommend in this scenario? And I said, I was thinking when you were saying, like, if I looked 5 years ago when I started, and I had that in my mind, I said, if what I know now and I'm in your position, here's what I would do. You know, I feel like we've learned a few things here and there where we could definitely help someone who's looking to grow. And we'll probably just link that up, I'm guessing, here online. You can feel free to ask us any questions. I know I get questions all the time on email from pastors, churches. We're totally open to that. So
you want to share your email?
It's mreed, M-R-E-E-D, at mnaog.org.
Collaboration is my favorite thing. So anytime we get to... I build deepest connection with people by working with them. And so would love to help any way that I can.
That's good.
So this is fantastic. It didn't go how I thought it would, but that's the kind of point of these the conversations. And, you know, Q&A and things. And you know what? Like, the thing, though, is with every type of creative person, it's going to come out different. If you were, all three of us are hired for the same project, the end product would look completely different. We'd have three completely different products. You know, and really, I really like how you said, like, you make the stuff that you want to see. I mean, that's, I don't like doing commercial work anymore because, you know, on top of the millions of revisions that people want to do, it's, I do it because I like to create stuff. And so when these people are like, when they have that, it's, it takes the complete joy out of it for me. So, and so now that I don't have weddings. that's why I only do about 4 or 5 a year. But yeah, cause it's for me the same way. Weddings are really boring, just personally. And, but instead I'd rather focus on, like, I've had this idea for a project I've wanted to do for a long time. And now I don't have to worry about, like, the financial side of it. Like, I can say no to a lot of projects I don't want to touch. And instead, like, I want to make this project because it's something I really want to see myself. I want to go through with that research. However, There is, so Matt, you already shared your contact information. Mine is just steve@manaog.org. If anybody wants to, on the website side, we'll have everybody's contact. And you have a cool link tree, which is fantastic.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, is it on my Instagram?
Yeah. Okay. We'll just post that. So then one link, you can see all your different stuff.
All my stuff, yeah. And my email is greg@cornerchurch.tv. Okay. I don't know if that's on there. But.
It isn't, but we can put it on there.
Cool.
So, you know, there's, I mean, we can sit and chat for hours about this stuff, but, you know, it's gone on for 56 minutes now.
Yeah.
And we want to, just before we close, so the whole idea between these, you know, Matt, can you share a little bit more about what these webinars are really designed? Because this kind of came from your head.
Yeah, so I'll wrap this up real quick, just kind of, and then we'll say goodbye here. But basically, we are hoping that the Equip Conference is more than just a conference. It's something that we do. So that's the idea, is that it's not just, we're not just having breakouts every April, but we're able to keep coming back with more and more resources and content with our pastors. Every month if we can, and probably more frequently once the new website is up. So you can start to, next month we've already got one lined up. We're working on some details. We'll release that soon. But you can see more of this happening in the coming months.
So. Do you think we can at least let them know what it's about?
Sure. Yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about taking vision to reality with Doug Graham. So yeah. I'm excited about that one. And
you actually kind of touched on this a little bit, Greg. Like, I'm like, gosh, that'd be such a cool transition comment towards the end. Like, taking, like, okay, so many people are like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. So many people are really good at vision.
Sure.
But how do we take that and make it real?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and then, but this audience is more on a pastoral organizational leadership base.
Yeah, leadership base.
So. You know? You know what? You can still take the same concept. Like, gosh, it would be really cool to do this someday. But, like, okay.
For sure.
How do you make that happen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, be looking for that information. Again, thanks, Greg,
yeah.
for coming
thanks,
in.
Guys.
Thanks, Steve, mm-hmm. for putting this all together.